Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Welcome inside the Playbook for Thursday. Jets week continuing to roll right along here inside Patriots Playbook. John Rook with PFW's Eric Scalavino. Roderick Boone from New York Newsday, who covers the Jets, is coming up in just a little bit. So we'll get to him when he joins us. Today's the day, of course, that you have to line up and pile in with your impressions of this game, your thoughts on this game, your predictions for the game. So let's get after it. Email webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. So that's how you're going to reach us here on the program. Facebook, of course, page is up. The name is John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you didn't know that, if you're not a friend on the Facebook page, submit the friend request on the page. We will answer it, and then you may send a message. You may post on the page. You may chat. Use the chat function, and that's how we get it done. I also have a Twitter account that you may follow, @JRook, @JROOKE0722. So now we get all of the contacting things out of the way, and you know how to get us on the show. Really need to know how you feel about this game. I want to know how you feel it breaks down. We're going to spend some time today talking about that very thing. Hour number two of the program, Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, will join us, as he normally does on Thursdays. But as far as this one's concerned, I think I'm beginning to formulate my thoughts. You know, last week I called in the show and told you when I was on the road and told you that I thought the Patriots would lose. And they surprised me, frankly. They did just enough defensively, really, to win the game. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot on offense, so that certainly helped. But I'm not sure I really feel vastly differently this week over how I felt last week.
Well, I am more inclined to side with you this week than I was last week.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't like the position that the Jets find themselves in. Having lost two games in a row, having to go on the road now will be 3 weeks this week, and they just seem to me to be an animal that's trapped in a corner. And usually when you get an animal like that, it does desperate things. And it's a division game. It's a meaningful game. I don't think the Patriots are going to lose it, but I think it's going to be very close and low scoring in the 20s.
Wow. That would be low scoring for the Patriots anyway. Well, let's find out if the Jets are a wounded animal. Roderick Boone covers the Jets for New York Newsday, and he joins us here in the Playbook. Roderick, it's John and Eric. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes. We know that Coach Ryan's coming up in a bit, but thanks. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
So what are your opinions of the Jets and whether or not they are more of a wounded animal backed into a corner, or if this is a week for them to continue struggling on the road like they've done the last 2 weeks?
That's a good question, guys. I think it's actually a little bit of both. I think they definitely are a wounded animal. Their pride is hurt right now. They've lost two straight games, both on the road. When the schedule came out, they sold a three-game road trip and knew how tough it was going to be. But right now, they're not playing up to their capabilities. The offensive line is not playing very well. Mark Sanchez is not getting time to throw the ball back there. The run game is non-existent. So they have a lot of problems right now. But I believe they definitely are wounded. Can they win this game on Sunday? Sure they can, but they have to overcome a lot of mistakes, do a lot of corrections. And obviously, the big thing with the Jets is going up to New England and making sure that crowd doesn't come to be a problem, because crowd there, noise. I know they won last year in the playoffs, but it's a different animal up there in New England, so the Jets have to be ready for that as well.
What's the biggest thing that they need to correct, in your estimation, over the last 2 weeks to give them a chance on Sunday?
Really, the run game, man. I mean, the offensive line has to kind of do a better job of making some holes, because that's the thing with the Jets. They're built to be a run-first team, We now have a lot more options in terms of wide receivers, you know, at tight end. But if they can't run the ball, teams just stack the line of scrimmage pretty much and say, you know what, we're going to let Mark Sanchez beat us. We're going to play coverage behind the line of scrimmage with that guy and have him do his thing. And right now he's proven he can't take the team on his shoulders by himself without a running game. So if the Jets can't run the ball, they're ranked number 30 in the league and running the ball this year. If they can't do that this week against New England, they're going to be in serious, serious trouble.
Do you feel like Mangold is going to be back to play? I mean, that seems to be the general consensus throughout the week.
Yes, I do believe he'll be back. He was out there practicing yesterday for the first time since he got injured. He was out there again today doing a couple different things. So I believe he'll be ready. And although he probably will come back, it will definitely help the run game. But still, it's been a problem at right tackle where they replaced Damian Woody, a former Patriot, trying to get Wayne Hunter in there. You know, the offensive line as a whole has to do better, but having Mangold back will definitely help him out. You're right.
I saw on the injury report, too, that Plaxico Burress missed practice yesterday with the elbow injury he suffered the other day. What was his status today?
He's out there practicing right now as we speak. Jets are about almost done with practice for today. He was out there with his teammates catching passes and team flip that we saw. So the official report will be released in a few minutes here where Rex tells us what is going on with everybody. But Plaxico Burress, to yesterday when I asked him about it, if he'll play, he said he's going to be fine. He'll be out there today. He'll be up on the field tomorrow. He'll be up there for sure on Sunday. So you'll see Plaxico Burress in New England this Sunday for sure.
Okay. You know, Roderick, you mentioned that the running game has been disappointing for the Jets, but I was going to ask you, either between Burress and, say, Santonio Holmes at wideout or a guy like Mark Sanchez at quarterback, what's been the most disappointing aspect of the passing game thus far, and which one can improve the quickest?
That's a good question. I would say probably that the biggest disappointment so far has been really the pass protection.
Okay.
Because although Plaxico Burress and Santonio aren't getting the ball that they probably feel they should get, part of the problem is he's not getting time to throw. Mm-hmm. And when Mark doesn't get time to throw, he goes back to his rookie season format of getting happy feet back there. And that's not his game. He's a play-action type quarterback. When he has time to throw the ball, I don't feel he's been pretty good. But right now, the pass protection has not been accurate. I mean, he's been knocked down, I think, 21 times so far something this year, which is incredible. He's been sacked about 8, 9, 10 times, I believe. I mean, the line's not giving time to throw the football. And I don't care what quarterback you are, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, if you don't have time to throw the football, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, the Patriots, obviously, as you well know, have had trouble putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks, so I think it'll be interesting to see how well the Jets' offensive line can protect Sanchez to give him that time to find those guys. It's one of the little chess matches, I think, that'll go on. You know, are you surprised at all thus far that we really haven't had much of a war of words between these two sides, and is it because of what's happened the last 2 weeks with the Jets that maybe they don't have quite as much swagger?
I think so, honestly. I mean, honestly, right now, how much trash can you talk? You lost 2 straight games. You lost in embarrassing fashion on national TV a couple of days ago. You went out to Oakland, and you lost to a team that you feel you're better in that you should beat. And then New England goes out there last week to Oakland and beats those guys. So the Jets right now, they know they can't talk in the trash because as much as they may want to, you don't want to incite the Patriots. But they beat them out there last time in their home turf in the playoffs. New England remembers that game. So the Jets, if they're smart, they know better than to sit there and try to talk trash because all you want to do is just make those guys in New England angry. Why would you want to do that knowing you're not playing your best football right now and knowing that essentially you beat them last time out and those guys of New England are waiting for you to come up there so you can, so they can play you again and actually get a little bit of a rematch type of revenge factor there?
Well, it wouldn't, but if there's any team in the league that can talk trash when they don't deserve to, it's the Jets.
You know, it's funny because, you know, it's my third year covering these guys in the cover him since Rex Ryan has been here. And the Jets are fun to cover at times. I mean, people on the outside hear the trash talking and think it's more braggadocious. But you know what? Honestly, guys, let's keep it real here. Up in New England, you guys have a coach in Bill Belichick who doesn't give you very much. He doesn't talk very much. And sports is supposed to be fun. You know what I mean? Sometimes we make sports a little bit too serious.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jets might talk trash sometimes a little bit too much. It's nice to be around a team that actually speaks their mind and actually doesn't kind of hold things back. Does it come back to bite them at times? Of course it does. But to me, it's still refreshing to be able to come out here every day and actually have guys be themselves, not be some robotic creatures out there.
Oh, yeah.
I could not agree more. Yeah. I mean, I just honestly,
it's a lament we hear in the locker room all the time.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's why from a New England perspective, I think that's why we really look forward to New York Jets week.
Yeah.
Because we know that not only is there a rivalry, and it seems to be at least as good a one as there exists right now in the NFL between these two teams, but we know the Jets have got the personality led by the coach that, you know, they don't mind, you know, talking the talk as long as they walk the walk.
Exactly. I mean, think about it. How many coaches during a rivalry week like this will come out in a blazer, a Hall of Fame blazer he made up himself with logos and everything else to have some fun? I mean, again, sports is supposed to be fun. When we were kids growing up playing football, basketball, baseball, we had fun. It still's a game. Yeah, it's a lot of memes out at stake. It's a competitive rivalry, everything else, but it's still a game that kids play. So why not have some fun with this? So the fact that Rex does what he does, at times it comes off the people on the outside, braggadocious, swaggerlicious, or whatever you want to call it. But really, at the end of the day, it's refreshing to be around a guy who just wants to be himself, to put on an act for anybody.
Well, knowing these guys as you've known them for the last couple of years, how ready do you think Sean Ellis will be to face his former team this week? And I ask that because, quite frankly, we're kind of looking for Sean Ellis. We haven't seen him in the first 4 weeks.
Well, I think he was salivating because he knows how much this game means to him. I mean, he wanted to be a Jet for his whole career, and he felt the Jets didn't really give him a fair offer in this offseason. So I think he'll be, of all guys, I mean, you guys know better than anybody, the last couple of years he's had great games against Tom Brady. So I think knowing what he knows about the Jets' offensive line, knowing guys like Wade Hunter, how they're struggling, I believe you have at least one sack or two from Big Cat this week for sure.
All right, before we let you go, give us one thing that we don't know about the Jets or that really an average fan wouldn't know about the Jets that's been a pleasant surprise to you or a disappointment.
You know, that's a good point. I think probably Joe McKnight. You know, last year people know about him from the throwing up episodes and the hard knock stuff where the coaches were really on his tail trying to almost embarrass the guy. But really, from my perspective, he's been a player – this year so far who can make plays for him whenever given a chance. And if I was New England, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'd be worried this week if I see number 25 come in the game because the Jets know he's a playmaker. He's not getting many opportunities right now because of the people in front of him. With the run game struggling the way it is, with Sean Green not getting his yards per carry the way he feels he should be able to, maybe you'll see Jim McKnight carrying the ball a little bit on top of the kickoff return. So if I'm a New England Patriots fan, I'd be a little bit worried of number 25.
And one last really, really quick one. Give us your gut feeling. Who's Revis going to be covering on Sunday?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that one.
Who's Darrell Revis going to cover on Sunday?
That's a good question. You know, they being a little bit coy right now about it when you asked Rex and when you asked Darrell yesterday about it, but I really believe it'll be on Wes Welker because, as you guys know, Wes Welker drives the offense. Tom Brady obviously has the keys to it, but he has to get the ball to Wes Welker for him to be effective. So if I'm the Jets, I put my best cover corner on Wes Welker and say, you know what, Tom Brady, go out there and throw to your tight end. You know, throw to your other guys. I'm not going to have Wes Welker beat me. So they're not saying who's going to be just yet, but I believe Reeves will be on Wes Welker this week for sure.
That would not surprise anybody here whatsoever. Roderick Boone, again, who covers the Jets for New York Newsday. Roderick, go get to work. Thanks for taking the time today.
Thanks a lot, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it.
Take care.
We'll see you on Sunday. So, yeah, I don't expect anything less than that. I certainly expect to see Revis match up with Welker and the swagger and the whole thing out there and going after it. And I, you know, and Welker may catch a few passes, but the extraordinary thing about Revis is that in four games, he's allowed three receptions.
How many times has he been targeted or has the receiver he's covered been targeted?
Double that maybe.
So that's,
what is he had? So
he's given up 50% of the passes thrown his way?
But, you know, that's a lot of passes defense though. Isn't it?
Well, it's three. If he's allowed three receptions and the receivers he's been covering have been targeted
six times.
Yeah,
you know what? The more I think about that,
that's a 50% completion percentage.
He has to have been targeted more than that, though. I don't have the number in front of me, so I have no idea. We'll dig up on that here during the commercial break and see if we can figure that one out. Because you're right. Targeted is one thing. But fact is that he's only allowed three catches in four games. Mm. Unless, unless he's only been targeted three or four times, yeah. That's still pretty extraordinary.
Like if he were targeted three times and he gave up three receptions,
but look
then
at
I'd
it
say,
this
well,
way.
Wait a minute.
But look at it this way, Eric. I don't know that even if he's not targeted is a direct indictment on Darrelle Revis because teams are throwing away from him knowing that it's futile.
I'm not talking about the I'm talking about the target number in a different way. I'm saying what percentage of the completion? What is the percentage of completions compared to the targets? So like I'm saying, if he only had six targets, he's given up 50% of the passes thrown his way. That's not great.
I'll wager there's more than six.
I would imagine there's got to be more than that.
Okay.
I mean three. I don't mind if, you know, if he's only been targeted, you know, a half dozen times, but if he's only given up one reception, then that's different to me.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that if you're a great corner, they're not going to throw your way. But when they do throw your way, if you're giving up a lot of receptions, that's not good either. Because, I mean, Nnamdi Asomugha, I think, had a little bit of that when he was in Oakland. Teams didn't throw his way, but sometimes when they did, he would give up passes. At least, you know, when we saw him in person, that's the feeling that we got. But I don't know. We'll have to get some specifics on the numbers there.
All right, we'll see if we can dig up some of those numbers for you here. I'm sure. In fact, if you're sitting on your computer right now and you're digging up those numbers, let us know. Send us a note because you might get to it before we do. Web radio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398 is where you reach us. Facebook page, Twitter, we're here. We want to hear from you on the Pats and Jets. Now, yesterday I asked a question. The Jets make me blank, right?
And Did you get a lot more responses after I left?
We had, you know, tons.
Really?
Yeah, it was a good email day. We had a lot, and there were a few that I didn't even get a chance to get to. I'm not so much, I mean, certainly, if you didn't get a chance to sound off on that yesterday, by all means, you can certainly tell us how you feel today. But along those lines, I need to know now how you feel about this game. And do the best job you can of putting your emotions aside. See, this is where, you know, emotions really play into rivalries. And this is what makes rivalries special. I do believe, and I know that it's been written about a little bit this week, probably talked about in your neck of the woods, and we've even talked about it a little bit here, that rivalries are a different animal. They're not quite the same as they used to be in the NFL, but I would say that the Patriots and the Jets in the NFL is about as good a rivalry as you're going to get. Of course, the reason that rivalries don't seem to be like they were in the good old days, back in the days when the Cowboys met the Redskins and a man was a man, you know?
Where did that voice come from?
Or the Packers met the Bears. They just kicked the snot out of each other.
You sound like that old a Rooster Cogburn impersonator that ESPN now has for their commercial. Have you seen that guy?
Yes, I have. And they got it from me. You like that?
I do.
See, I can do voice impersonations.
That's good.
I would love to do that. I don't have anybody calling me for any voice animation jobs right now. So I got to get an agent and then get my agent on it.
You are a cartoon character.
I am a cartoon character, by God. So, well, in real life too, I guess. But the fact of the matter is that free agency has floated, you know, rivalries to where they are today with so much player movement, and we get all of that. But the great thing about Jets and Patriots is that we continue to feed on the whole New York-Boston or New York-New England thing. And I think that's what helps feed this rivalry more so than just about anything. Because let's face it, Eric, 10, 15 years ago, Jets were not the Patriots' top rival.
No, 10, 15 years ago?
I would have to say.
Who would you think of? Miami, probably.
I'd say Miami.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Miami. And of course, until, you know, we got the division realignment, you'd have to even throw the Colts in there for a little bit.
Well.
Because you played them twice a year.
Well, you did, but the Patriots always won those games. Before Peyton Manning got there, New England owned. I mean, absolutely owned the Colts. Owned the Colts.
Yeah. Okay.
Even in the
so
years
really
when
less
New England
so rival.
Won one and two games,
right.
Those one and two games were against the Colts.
Yeah.
That they won.
Well, certainly, then I would guess that Miami would probably have been considered the foremost.
Because that was the team they had never beaten.
Right.
On a consistent basis.
Right. And I'm sure Miami looked at it completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because Miami was the one doing the whipping up on the Patriots.
Right.
For the most part.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and a true rivalry has to have
some balance
to it where, you know, team can go on a streak and beat you every so often, if not more than every so often, you know, maybe beat you three or four times in a row before you lose again.
Yeah.
You know, that to me is the essence of a rivalry. And so In that vein, I want you to put aside some of your emotion toward the Jets, the hated J-E-T-S. I always have to throw that in there every once in a while. And break the game down. Let us know what you think. How's this game going to come down to? I will tell you that I'm kind of, here's where I'm leaning. Here's what I'm thinking. And see if you agree here, Eric. And we'll see if we get some fans to agree on this as well, or even disagree. But, you know, what Roderick Boone just told us, I think about the running game that the Jets don't have yet and how they really needed to come to play on Sunday is dead solid perfect. You need to run the ball to keep the ball out of the Patriots' hands. And I think they realize that defensively, they're not going to stop Tom Brady. They can hope to slow him down. They're just going to make somebody else beat them besides Welker, and I'm sure that'll be a huge part of their focus.
Well, the Jets are designed better than most teams to even attempt to shut down Tom Brady and the offense because
They've done a good job at that. They have a shutdown corner in Revis
mm-hmm. on the left, mm-hmm. and they have a very, I'd say, above-average corner in Antonio Cromartie on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
They have a front seven that can get pressure, has proven that they can get pressure on him, which is the way to beat him. The Giants proved that in the Super Bowl. So if any team can do that, it's this team. That's another reason why I don't feel very good about it, because in a league when there are very few teams with solid defenses, I think the Jets are one of them. I have that same feeling I had Bills week.
God,
where I gave the benefit of the doubt to the team with the better quarterback, but I just do not feel good about it at all.
Well, I personally believe it's going to be the Jets' ability to keep the ball out of the Patriots' offense hands, because I personally see the Patriots figuring out a way to score 30 again. I see, unless they shoot themselves in the foot and commit three or four turnovers against a Jets defense that, as you said, is fairly respectable. Certainly, I think more so at this stage of the game than maybe Buffalo's, then I think the Patriots find a way to score 30. Question is, can the Patriots defense hold the Jets to less than?
Without turnovers, no. They're going to have to do what they've done. In their wins so far this year, and that's create
some. So they'll have to stop a drive or two thanks to a pickoff or a fumble recovery.
Yeah, I'd like to see them start stripping the ball. They haven't really done much of that this year. They've picked off some passes, which is great, but I'd like to see more forced fumbles. I'd like to see more strip sacks.
I don't know why they haven't done that. Merriweather.
Oh.
He was good at it.
I don't miss him at all.
All right, John, that's fine. I'm just saying that he was. That was one of the things
Nothing
I thought he
did. Is going to make me miss him.
Strip the ball out of people's hands.
I'm not buying. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can't. That's fine. We won't revisit. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. So,
So that's how I think they have to do it. They need to, if they can't do that, then I think the Jets are capable of putting up 30. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I think the defense will make some plays when they need to. And I think the offense will do just enough to get them where they need to be. They're going to see Steven Gostkowski more than you want this week, I think. Going to be some field goals going on.
So you think they'll have to be settling for threes as opposed to getting the ball into the end zone?
I'm afraid. I have a, yeah.
Well, you could still go with, I would say right now, somewhere in the vicinity of 30 to like 26.
I'm going 26-20. I know it's early for my Thursday prediction, but that's what I feel right now. 26-20 Patriots.
Oh, so you think the Patriots will eke it out?
I do, but I don't feel confident about it.
I don't either. Right now, I'm leaning toward 30 to 26 Pats. A 4-point game. A lot of field goals, as you said. I kind of like that, to be honest with you. You know, that would be, what, 3 touchdowns, 3 field goals, making the 30 out?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right. Let's go with, if we go 30 to 26, then that's, 14 and 4 field goals. 2 touchdowns and 4 field goals for the Jets.
Wow. Well, I don't know about that. I think the Jets get some touchdowns and very few field goals.
Well, now the one thing that the Patriots defense has done, at least a little bit, is they have shown a little resiliency in the red zone.
Yeah. You got to give them a little bit of that. Yeah.
That was the difference in the game, I thought, this last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with a weapon like, you know, Sebastian Janikowski, they were able to limit opportunity.
Yeah.
They came up, you know, with the gift pick in the end zone that Pat Chung came
right,
up with.
Right.
You know, that was huge.
Right.
That, to me, was the turning point in the ballgame. That was the seminal moment in that ballgame.
I agree.
Because they were marching.
They were marching. They were about to, what, I can't remember what the score was at that point.
Wasn't
but it was close.
Wasn't it 14-10?
I think, I think you're right.
And so that would have given the Raiders the lead.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah. So, all right. Time for you to let us know what you think about the game. We've kind of given you our thoughts. I do think it'll be close. I know that there are some that feel like it'll be a blowout. All right, that's fine. So why? Why is it going to be a blowout? And the only thing that's keeping me from thinking blowout along the same lines of, you know, what we saw here last year in the 45-3 game simply comes from the fact that I've got no faith in the defense right now to be able to completely shut down anybody. We haven't seen the emergence of a true playmaker with any consistency yet on the defensive side of the ball. You know, now, if Devin McCourty steps up, if Gary Guyton comes up big, you know, in Mayo's absence, maybe you figure out to maybe you get a couple of quarterback sacks. Maybe Ellis is supercharged to go against his former team that, you know, basically cut him loose. You know, you need somebody to come up and for whatever reason make plays. You know, Chung had the one play last week. You know, and I think he's probably as likely as anybody to be a playmaker in the secondary, you know, for this team for the remainder of the year. So I think keeping him relatively healthy and upright is a huge factor. But McCourty's got to come up big on the corner.
Yeah, he's due, I think, you know.
I mean, we need to, you know, no more of this sophomore jinx stuff. He needs to continue to progress.
Yeah.
You know, because right now I'd have to say he's regressed from what we saw a year ago, especially toward the end of the year.
Yeah, and I worry the longer this goes, that how much it will affect his confidence. You know, early on you get a couple of bad games, you got to shrug him off. But if this turns into anything more, you know, I'd hate to see it come to the point where he's like a pitcher who just can't get a – can't throw a strike, or a batter who can't get a hit. You know, I don't want him to get in such a rut that he feels like it's inescapable, you know. So he needs to have something good happen. I think he'll have something this week. Interception or fumble, recovery, forced fumble, something like that. He's got to have some play that he can lean on.
Offensively, you know? Do you think the team will be perhaps a little bit more willing to maybe put the ball in a guy like Stephen Ridley's hands a little bit more this week, based on what they saw last week?
Well, not just last week, but from the week before. It started in Buffalo, I thought. He had a spurt when they put him in there. He built on that last week, had the great 33-yard touchdown run. Why not go with the hot hand? He seems to be carving him up on the ground. Why, you know, maybe he doesn't start, but I think you get him more into the rotation than you had been. And, you know, he's proving that he can do it, so might as well continue to give him the confidence boost by showing the confidence in him, give him the ball.
All right. Let's pause here for a break. Then we're going to come back and start getting to your emails, start getting your Facebook posts and your thoughts on the Pats and Jets. Predict the score. Tell us what's going to happen, why it's going to happen. What's it going to come down to? The Jets make me blank.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pats interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet, anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you are frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First out, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at autotrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. Autotrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Inside the playbook here for a Thursday, Pats and Jets week coming up. Kickoff is at 4:15 Eastern time, Sunday afternoon here at Gillette. Kev, I'll put you on something real quick. Can you look up, do you have a minute? All right, look up, because we're trying to find it, and we can't find it. We think it's gettable here. We wanted to find out how many times Revis was actually targeted last week against Baltimore. And for some reason, we're not finding the game book where we think that that might happen, simply because... We know he's only given up, what, 3 pass receptions in 4 games, which sounds like an impressive number, but we're trying to get a little bit of a picture, closer picture on how many times teams have actually thrown at him. Because you have to feel like if he's going to match up, and here's why we're thinking this way, if he's going to match up as we anticipate with Wes Welker, How is that going to affect, will it affect at all, Tom Brady targeting Wes Welker? I say it matters very little. Now, if by some chance Revis has covered him like a glove,
well, then it becomes even more imperative that Aaron Hernandez comes back.
Hernandez, I mean, and that's the other thing, which is why I wanted to use that to lead into your practice report today, because we need to figure out what the latest is in terms of guys out on the field.
Yep, and Hernandez was one of them who was back. It was a good day on the health front for the Patriots. They had seven missing yesterday.
Excellent.
Which we were a little despondent about. Mm-hmm. But three of those guys came back. Hernandez was one. He talked in the locker room earlier and looked to be in great spirits. So, and there were full pads today, I should add, too. One of the few that they get during the season. Albert Haynesworth was back, John. I know you're happy to hear about that. And believe it or not,
that'll help.
Mike Wright
was back today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise of them all was seeing him out there. And great news for him because it's been since the opener in Miami that we've seen him.
And frankly, you and I openly questioned whether or not we'd ever see him back.
Yeah, that's why I was stunned. I did a double take at practice because I wasn't sure I was seeing the 9 and the 9 correctly next to each other. But there it was. He was out there.
And he was taking part?
Taking part.
In everything?
Well, everything we were allowed to see in the beginning.
Right.
We'll see. My guess is he'll be listed as limited when the report comes out in an hour or so, an hour and a half. But he was out there, which is a big step for him. And, you know, getting Haynesworth back, we saw him very briefly in the locker room today, too. He looked to be walking a little bit better than he was the last time I saw him in the locker room, where he was very slow and stiff. He looked like his more normal gait today. He'll probably be limited, too, when the report comes out, I'm sure. Very rarely do these guys come back and immediately go into full participation coming off an injury. But just the fact that they're out there gives them a better than average chance of actually suiting up. So,
well, that's a step in the right direction then. Mm-hmm. So Hernandez back, Haynesworth back, yep. Mike Wright back.
So that just leaves Edelman, Woodhead, both with ankle injuries, Mayo with the knee, and Vollmer with his back.
Do you think Woodhead and or Edelman?
Well, if they didn't take part today, you know, they could have always come out later, but chances are slim.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards no. I don't think we see them this week.
Okay.
I'm just getting really concerned about Vollmer now and his back. Because back injuries, if you've ever had one, they are the
isn't
worst.
Isn't that what initially got Nick Kasher into trouble?
Yeah.
It was a back injury, right?
Mm.
So, yeah. He ended up with a congenital disc problem, we found out later, wasn't it?
I'm not sure, but
I think that was something like that led to his ultimately, you know, retiring basically, because he's not with anybody. So.
Yeah. So I, the more time goes by and we don't see Vollmer, the more concerned I get about him for a long term. Because, you know, I thought we had dodged a bullet because, like we've said before on the show, he had those problems at Houston, and it was a legitimate concern, probably one of the main concerns why he didn't get an invite to the combine, and people were somewhat surprised that the Patriots took him as high as they did. And when he went through the first couple of years without any problems, I thought, you can exhale now. He seems to be okay. And unfortunately, it seems to be cropping up again with
him. If it's just a byproduct of the wear and tear as opposed to maybe just an individual play that might have knocked him out of commission.
Either way, back problems are so sensitive injuries, and they affect everything. You can't do anything if you have a back problem. At least, like, if you have an arm injury, right? You can run. You can use the stationary bike. You can do some sort of weight exercises with that. If you have a back problem, you cannot do any of those things with any degree of normalcy. And you certainly can't do anything maxing out weight or anything like that. It just completely ruins you. You can't sleep. It's terrible. And I know because I suffered from back injuries, particularly back in college. For about 10 years afterwards. I'm just now, believe it or not, in my 30s, John, I feel healthier than I did back then when I was playing. Just because so much time has passed and I've finally gotten enough of my own therapy with it that it's back to normal. But so I understand what Vollmer's going through, and it's and you just can't predict when you're going to ever be back with those things.
Okay. So that's the latest then from practice today.
Yeah. One other just little note. Bill O'Brien was not too happy. He's the offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach. Practice got off to a little bit of a sloppy start with the QBs and receivers doing their very easy warm-up drill. You know, they line up and they just run a fly route and the quarterback just lobs a pass. It's mm-hmm. it's not even full speed. They're just sort of half going through the motion. That's how they always do it. But it was some overthrown passes, some drop balls. It wasn't really very crisp. He cursed them out for it. You know, that's the kind of thing you see during a rivalry week. It's a little bit more intensity at practice. It's a full pads day. You can't be screwing around, taking things too lightly.
Well, I'm then a little bit concerned over the lack of intensity on the players' part then.
I don't know if it was lack of intensity or focus. Just, you know, didn't really seem like there was that energy that you normally get at the start of a Patriots practice. So Bill O'Brien noticed that and let the guys know about it, and the tempo picked up pretty quickly thereafter.
Daryl sends this on Facebook. He says, "The Jets make me happy." I know, right? Sports were made for rivalries like this. I'm happy that we have such a good rival to hate on year in and year out. In warfare, when you're dealing in human lives, you want to take every advantage away from your enemy and focus on inordinate amount of combat power against them. In war, you want a one-sided blowout. Sports, at least to me, is different. Although I love the 45-3 game last season, I wasn't as ramped up for it as I was when the Pats were playing from behind in the playoff loss. So for the sake of competitiveness, I hope this great rivalry game one is close. I think the game itself hinges on two players, Jet center Mangold and our own Aaron Hernandez. If Mangold doesn't play, I think our D-line has its game of the year. If he does, I think we may get a sack. Maybe. Hernandez is our key to offense in this one, especially with Revis in the secondary. I expect Coach Footy to put Reeves on Branch and Revis on Branch and double cover Welker. Game final, 33-21.
33-21.
Huh? I'm assuming he says Patriots.
I'll take that score. I just don't feel good about it.
He says, as an aside, I don't know if you remember my prediction against the Bills a few weeks ago, but I want to redeem myself. I put those stats down for Tom Brady, but they were really meant for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Still good for that trip to Vegas. Just bet against me every time and you'll be golden. Okay.
Okay, John, I found the game book that you can download.
Excellent.
You have to jump through an inordinate amount of hoops to get it.
All right, I found it. What did it say in terms of
I'm
targets?
I'm looking for... Okay, so the top receivers on Baltimore were Ed Dixon, tight end, Ray Rice, Anquan Boldin, Dennis Pitta, I think is another tight end.
Okay.
So those are your main guys there. I would assume Boldin was probably the guy that Revis
Boldin
was on.
Yeah. Boldin,
he was
right?
Targeted twice and had one reception.
So he's one for two.
Okay, guessing that's who it was.
Again, I don't
that's
think
50%
that's
50% completion.
Yeah, but I don't think that's an indictment on Revis' ability because they could have targeted him more, and the reason they chose not to target him is because they respect his ability.
Maybe. Let's go back. Who did they play the week before? Oakland?
Yeah.
In week three?
All right.
Let's go back for that.
There. I'm going to
get
to the phone.
That.
Yeah.
Yep,
Jacob is in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Oh.
And he joined us in the playbook. Jacob, how are
he's
you?
He's on the other side of the bars.
Yeah.
I'm good, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the
time.
Are
you serving in the military?
Yes, I'm in the Navy.
Thank you for your service.
I appreciate it, guys. I kind of agree with Eric. I kind of feel uneasy, and I agree. I felt the same for the Buffalo game until I heard the injury report today. If Hernandez does, in fact, play, I don't see how they're going to be able to cover all these targets because, yes, they can cover Welker, but agree or disagree, Hernandez is arguably Brady's favorite receiver after Welker, correct? And
well, Brady's favorite receiver is the guy who's open, and he's always said that.
True,
yeah. That changes game to game.
Hernandez, I mean, just think if he would have played in the Buffalo game, I think that just him being in that game would have been the difference maker.
Yeah, I can see that. Jacob, I really can. You know, I think, you know, if Hernandez is in this game, I feel so much better. I mean, I'm willing to tack another 7 on the Patriots side of the board if he's in the game as opposed to not being there. That's how confident I think not only I would be, frankly, I think it's how confident Tom Brady would be if he had a guy like Hernandez in there. Because while I think everybody knows that you know, Welker is go-to guy for Brady and for this team offensively, Hernandez is the binky.
Mm-hmm.
I totally believe
that. So another thing. Mike Wright, how big of an impact, if he's truly healthy, how big of an impact on defense do you think he'll have?
I wouldn't expect a whole lot.
I'd be stunned if we had, you know, more than, I mean, first of all, we don't even know. I mean, he's back out practicing, but we're not sure that he'll be active.
Yeah.
He could be an inactive for this one because I don't know that they'll throw him right back out there if he's had to sit out 4 or 5 weeks with another concussive incident.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, in all honesty, they put him back out there ready for full duty.
Yeah, the best you can hope for with Mike Wright, I would think, whenever he is ready to play again, you know, game-wise, is as a
situational guy,
which is always what he has been best.
That's what he's been.
Right.
It's he actually got into his trouble health wise when he had to become a regular guy a year ago. That's what led to his downfall. He's not a regular guy. He's a situational rotational guy that should back you up and get you, you know, hopefully 12 to 15 snaps a game at defensive tackle. That's it. That's what you get out of him. And if you get that out of him without any injury, bonus. But that's just who Mike Wright is nowadays.
Yep.
Okay. Well, anyways, I'll leave you guys with that. Prediction from me, I think it's going to be a little bit higher than you guys, than Eric's been saying. I think it's going to be about 30-23, 30-20, but I think we're going to come up with a win, and I think it's really good news that Hernandez hopefully will be out there. I think that's going to be the difference maker.
Well, I hope that score, I'll take that score, Jacob, any day, and beat Army.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for your time.
All right, Jacob, you got it. Thank you.
He didn't seem to get very pumped up for
No, not
usually when you say beat Army, that just gets them all fired up.
Gets all the Navy guys fired up, I know. Yeah, well. How about let's get to Steve in Killeen, Texas. Steve, you're in the playbook.
Keep it Killeen.
Hey, John. First of all, welcome back.
Thank you. Yeah, keep it Killeen.
Keep it Killeen, always. Looking at how we're lined up for this game and the fact that Rex Ryan has already done his SL stint on the whole Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, with Hernandez in, Gronk in, and Welker in, looking at how Welker and Gronk couldn't be stopped by and large when they play, adding that next level with Hernandez, it's going to be nightmarish, especially if Cromartie is as injured or if he's lost a step due to injury. Along with that, Stephen Ridley running the way he's been running, I feel pretty good that, you know, we don't have to establish a great ground-and-pound type game, but I think with him, if we can get the offense going early with the run and establish that, it's going to open up the whole game. And, you know, I see the Pats potentially hanging 32 to 35 points on the Jets with relative ease. It's all said and done.
You know what? I'm not gonna go off far from that because I already said I think, you know, they'll at least put 30 on it. Although I am kind of siding a little bit with Eric's thought process that I think touchdowns may be harder to come by. That's not a guarantee, as we know, but it just seems to me that, you know, when both teams are going to be, you know, somewhat tight, I think the Jets will be the tightest of the two. That, you know, you might have a penchant for, you know, some third down failings. You might have a penchant for some shortcomings in the red zone, which would force teams to go for field goals rather than, you know, throw it in there. So, thinking that they might settle for some threes over, you know, over the sevens, you just have to kind of hope that you've got a couple of more than the other guy does. So, it's all going to come down to whether or not the Patriots defense can force turnovers. As Eric suggested, they're going to have somebody come up and make a big play or two. And if they can do that, there's no reason why Patriots can't score 30 to 37, somewhere in that range. And that's going to take one extra potential drive and or score off the boards for the Jets. I mean, rivalry games are such that where, you know, you hear the old adage, especially in the college game, Steve, you know, throw out the record books. You know, and we're going to see, you know, a rivalry game like that in your neck of the woods this weekend with Texas-Oklahoma. You throw out the record books for a game like that. And it's because
Red River Shootout weekend
Red
already?
Red River rivalry.
Yep. Wow.
Red River rivalry.
Yeah. The Triple R. Yeah. I miss my Fletcher's corn dogs.
I'll see if I can hook you up with some of those, too,
Steve,
John.
You'd be my best friend in the whole world. You could hook up some Fletcher's corny dogs, let me tell you. I understand that one of the new things that they've had in recent years, by the way, at the State Fair of Texas, is fried butter.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God.
It's there.
How do you fry a stick of butter?
Well, it's kind of the same premise as how you'd fry ice cream, John. What happens is you get the stick of butter really, really cold.
Yeah.
Then you coat it, and then basically you flash fry it.
Flash fry it. Okay.
It's you got a coating with, you know, melted butter inside, basically.
Wow, that's just...
I'm not brave enough to go there. I'll just...
I was brave enough, Steve, to try the fried Twinkie.
In a state where we're known for the fried Twinkie, fried bacon, and now fried butter.
Yeah, how about fried bacon? French, chicken fried bacon is just like unbelievable.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with bacon.
It's hard to screw bacon up.
You just fried bacon anything and you're good to go.
Oh my goodness! All right, we digress.
Yeah, looking at this though, it's exactly what I think it's going to shape up to be. You know, I think Belichick is going to go back if he hasn't, or the guys like Tom are going to go back and look at the playoff game with the Jets last year. And have that in their head. And while in practice they might not have been as focused as they needed to be initially, the idea of losing to the Jets, I mean, it's kind of like, again, going back to college rivalries, Michigan can lose to everybody but Ohio, and they have a good season. Jets and Patriots, it's a similar thing.
Right.
And with the added hype of Rex and the notoriety, and that's not saying that the Jets aren't a good team. They are. Which is what makes it sweeter when you beat them,
right?
And beat them soundly. So,
right.
I'm looking forward to a good one. Hopefully, the gallon of hot sauce arrived, John, and you guys will be ready to dig.
And by the way, thank you very much.
Not a problem at all. I appreciate you guys doing what you do. So, I'm looking forward to a good one, as T.O. would say, if he's available and coming to the Patriots. Get your popcorn ready.
Yeah, get your fried butter ready.
You didn't pick a score though, Steve.
I think we're going to pull this one off, probably about 35-21-22.
Okay.
I think that's about where it's going to go. And along with what Kevin was saying about turnovers, I really don't think the turnovers are as key as stopping third and long. I just haven't seen us do that yet. If we can get some three and outs, which would basically be the equivalent of a solid turnover, where the Patriots get the ball with a short field, you know, I think we get it done.
Okay.
Yeah. Although, you know, a couple more big vents, you know, stumbling, rumbling.
That would help.
In the no-fly zone, that is, Vince Wilfork.
The no-fly zone.
Not heard of.
I like that. That's good. No-fly zone. We might have to use that again.
All right, gentlemen.
All right,
thanks,
Steve.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right. You want some numbers,
yeah,
John?
Go.
Okay, let's go from week one. Jets and Cowboys.
Okay.
Okay. Miles Austin or Dez Bryant, I'm assuming, is the player that Revis was covering. Mm-hmm. Do you want to take a pick on either one of those?
I got to think that it's probably Dez Bryant.
Okay. 8 targets, 3 catches.
Well, if he had 3 in 4 weeks, then it wouldn't have been Dez Bryant.
Probably not.
So then,
but Miles Austin had 9 targets for 5 catches.
Huh. Well, then why would the Jets manufacture a number like that? Because that was a Jets manufactured number that
it was.
I saw. Yes, it was.
Okay, well, I don't know. Unless I don't know how much zone they're playing, whether or not they're saying that he was not responsible for certain receptions that were made in his vicinity, who knows?
That's being a jackass!
It certainly is, but that being the case, those are the numbers for Miles Austin and Dez Bryant.
Interesting.
Week 2 against the Jaguars. Mike Thomas. Kasim Osgood. They don't have very many name wide receivers there. I'm going to go with Mike Thomas.
Okay.
10 targets for 3 catches.
Okay.
He was their leading receiver.
Okay.
Oakland. I'm going to assume Darius Heyward-Bey. They also have, you know, Denarius Moore, Chaz Schillens, but those guys are, you know, lower level. Darius Heyward-Bey had 3 targets, 1 catch, 5 yards.
So that would actually be 7 receptions.
Yep. And then Baltimore, as we talked about, probably Anquan Boldin, 2 for 1.
That's 8 catches then in 4 weeks. Well, an average of 2. Well, it's almost an average of 3 over 4 weeks, you'd have to say. That'd be about what it is. But that's not, you know, overwhelmingly impressive. Less than 1 catch per week would have been more impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me then what Welker's going to do is he's going to go for about 12 and 112, right?
Perhaps. And you know what? We're all saying that they gotta put Revis on Welker. They gotta put Revis on Welker. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't put Revis on Welker.
Well, maybe they decide to, you know, leave Cromartie on him, and like we said, double down with the safety.
Maybe.
Although I think that's where Aaron Hernandez has a field day.
Maybe they do what Revis suggested. Did you hear what he said the other day?
What did he say?
He said he was talking about Aaron Hernandez and said he's a nightmare to match up against because you can't put a linebacker on him. He's too quick. You can't put a safety on him. He's too big and too quick. He said, you know what the perfect person to cover him would be?
Me.
Me.
That's being a jackass.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's actually being on point, I think. So, yeah. You know what? Maybe hit reverse psychology. Maybe he told the reporters what they really wanted to know and they didn't realize it.
Interesting.
If Hernandez plays, maybe they put him on.
So Revis on Hernandez, if Hernandez
maybe.
Goes.
Who knows?
And well, then it, I'd almost look forward to that matchup more because I'd want to see if Hernandez and his physical mm-hmm. traits can dominate a guy like Revis. Or can Revis, you know, hang with a guy like that? And if he does and Hernandez plays, what does that do to Welker? Does that give him another potential record-setting day? You know, you'd have to think it opens something up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of having a healthy Aaron Hernandez out there for the Patriots. It opens up the entire offense. It makes opportunity for everybody, including Chad Ochocinco, for that matter. You know, Deion Brandt, everybody. Everybody. So that's an encouraging sign. Encouraging sign all the way. All right. Well, while we got a couple of minutes left here before you go off and write, then what are your thoughts overall then on the matchup? You've already kind of given us a score. You think the Patriots by four,
six, 26-20.
26-20. Okay, yep. Excuse me. I thought you said by four.
26-20.
24. Okay, so 26-20 is what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Where can this game be lost?
If New England's defense can't create turnovers, if they can't get pressure on Sanchez, and if Brady. If the Jets can get any sort of pressure on Brady and make them even throw, you know, make two big mistakes, an interception in the end zone, a fumble at the wrong time. Because Patriots, I believe I saw this stat, might have been from our friend Russell Baxter, football guru.
Okay.
I think the Patriots are the only team in the league that hasn't fumbled.
That might be. We'll ask him.
So if the Jets can create any sort of pressure turnover situation
that's
at
where,
the most inopportune times.
That's where the comeuppance could come.
That's where it could happen.
Hmm. Good that this game is at home, I think. By the way, you know, playing three of your first four on the road, that's not an easy start to the season.
No, especially three in a row.
But the Jets are playing three in a row, and they lost theirs.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. I'm talking about the Jets.
Yeah.
Playing
well,
three games in a row.
I was talking about the Patriots. You know, three of their first four have been away also.
True, but they, you know.
They didn't have three in a row,
that's
though.
That's true. Yeah.
They didn't have three in a row. Really, three in a row? I'm kind of wondering how that happened, to be honest with you. I almost,
it's not unprecedented, but it's very rare. Very rare to have three road games.
Mm-hmm. Stinks to have it happen to a team like the Jets, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Couldn't happen to a better team.
Okay. All right, let's take a break here. E, thanks, buddy.
No problem.
See you on Sunday.
Yep.
We're going to continue the thought process coming up in the next hour with pro football guru Russell Baxter. In the meantime, still need your predictions. They're starting to trickle in. We need him to flood in. What's going to happen in the game? You tell us. What is your thought? Where are the Patriots or where are the Jets going to come out on top on Sunday? Web radio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We're coming back in the playbook.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
That's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40.
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10. Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tie back is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
If you didn't know, AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Ah, deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank America Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook for this Thursday, Pats Jets week. It's liable to be a summer feel at Gillette Stadium here on Sunday. We're talking 80 degrees potentially at game time, even at 4:15 in the afternoon on Sunday. 80 degrees? That's what the weather forecast says. Certainly mid to upper 70s, which, you know, I'm sure it'll cool off rapidly once we, you know, get the sun down, but that's extraordinary even for, you know, Columbus Day weekend, which we're already upon, which totally and completely blows me away. Russell's coming up in a couple of minutes. First, though, let's talk to Derek at the University of Arizona. What's up, Derek?
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm good, man.
Yep, good to hear, good to hear. I'm sorry I missed Eric. I was calling in so I could say hi to him, too. I haven't talked to him in a while. But
I will let him know that you were asking for him.
All right, good, good, yeah. But it's good to talk to you as always, John. I bet you're looking forward to that Texas-Oklahoma game.
Yes, with, you know, not as much anticipation as normal because it's kind of like, you know, expecting a car wreck. You just want it to get over with. So
yeah, I've been busy this week, so I haven't caught up with the show. Have you and Strippers got anything going on this week?
You know, there's a little bit of, he was, you know, flooding the Twitterverse with, you know, how OU is this and how OU is that yesterday. I haven't heard as much today, but, you know, all I have to say is, well, you know why Oklahoma doesn't fall in the Gulf of Mexico, why Texas doesn't fall in the Gulf of Mexico, right?
No, I don't.
Because Oklahoma sucks.
You guys and your rivalry, geez. It should be a good game. But it's always going to be a good game, but, you know, Oklahoma.
Stripper sent you that?
Should probably win pretty handily.
Well, you know, that's rivalry. You know, it's part of the fun and it's what you look forward to and everybody throws barbs and, you know, and so it's fine. And, you know, frankly, you know, much as I hate to admit it, Oklahoma's, they do it right. They absolutely do it right. I hate that they do it right, but they do it right. So because they do, that's what fuels the fire for the rivalry. Kind of like, you know, what we've got with the Jets. The Jets have come right up and they've slugged the Patriots in the mouth, you know, a couple of times last year, most importantly in the playoffs when it mattered most. And as much as you hate to admit it, they deserved it because the Patriots just didn't play well. So I think that's why we're kind of anticipating Sunday as well.
Yeah, it was really disappointing last year, you know, especially with how well the Patriots played going into that game, and then really just, I don't know if the word collapse is the right word, but they did just collapse a little bit in that playoff game, and, you know, hopefully, you know, they right some wrongs there and go ahead and get a win on Sunday, which I do think they will. A question for you, though, John, is, you know, I was really excited, like I'm sure many of, you know, my fellow Patriots fans, you know, were to see that, you know, Hernandez is back, Ainsworth, right?
Yep.
You know, my question for you is, do you think some of these players returning from injury can rejuvenate the team, you know, on Sunday?
Well, I think it depends on which players. You know, I don't know that the offense, honestly, Derek, needs a lot of rejuvenation. What, you know, Hernandez's return is going to do is he's going to make it a heck of a lot easier for a guy like Wes Welker if a guy like Darrell Revis is covering him. Now, it may also cause the Jets some pause and say, all right, you know what? We're not sure that Welker's the guy we need to stop. You know, as Eric just surmised, you might see Revis on Hernandez because they've talked about that potential matchup. Revis has suggested that matchup himself.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off there, but
no, that's all right.
I would agree that Hernandez, you know, I think it was you that said it a second ago that Revis on Hernandez, that matchup would be almost more interesting than him and Welker, but I kind of would like to see it too because, to be honest, I would feel really, really good about a Welker-Cromartie matchup then, if that's where they went, because I really don't think Cromartie could hang with Welker.
No, he can't, and very few, you know, cornerbacks in the league can. So I think we'd have to welcome that too, because you know Welker's going to find just a little bit of crease, just a little bit of space, and Brady's going to look for him. And you know, I see no reason why that combination wouldn't continue, you know, at a pretty high clip.
Yep. Well, you know, the thing about Aaron Hernandez's absence is I'm not sure if you've mentioned this statistic, but I wrote this the other day on Pats fans. And
yep.
Sorry for the self-promotional.
No, you're entitled. It's quite all right.
But, you know, in the last 2 weeks, you know, Welker's had 25 receptions. All the other receivers combined for the team have 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Brady's been looking at Welker a ton. And, you know, his production has been incredible. You know, 40 receptions, 616 yards, 5 touchdowns. You know, so if, you know, the Jets would probably be stupid not to focus a heavy amount of attention on him the way he's playing right now. But, you know, I really, I think it's going to be all about, you know, keeping some good balance. I really like the balance the Patriots did on Sunday. And I'm hoping that even if the running game doesn't show as much production as it did last week, I hope they just stick with it just to keep the Jets off balance a little bit. And, I hope Brady spreads it around.
I think he will. I think if you find that Revis starts out on somebody other than Welker, or if Cromartie is guarding Welker or defending Welker, I think you're going to find Brady pretty much able to go just about anywhere he needs to go. And that'll be curious to see how the Jets adjust to that. Because the Jets know, you know, they've got to get pressure. They've got to, you know, they've got to play, you know, they've got to stuff guys at the line. I mean, you know, I would think that they would want to try to find a way to stuff Welker in the 5-yard zone before, you know, he's, you know, home free. And if that means getting physical with him or doubling on him, to me, I'm making somebody else on the Patriots team beat me if I'm the Jets. And if that means putting my best on Welker, that's where I'm going.
Yep. No, I agree. Do you think they're going to keep Revis on one guy the entire time or move him around?
They might move him around. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see them move him around. Really wouldn't.
Well, I mean, they could double Welker with, you know, like a linebacker and, you know, just underneath a little bit, you know.
Possibly.
And,
yeah,
you know, just keep a corner on him and then put Revis on someone else. And
sure,
all of a sudden, you know, you're really taking away a pretty big portion of, you know, the Patriots offense. But, you know, it should be a really interesting game. I think the Patriots probably will score 30. I hope they do.
Okay.
I probably lean about 34-21 at this point.
Okay.
But I have my reservations. You know, I really hope the defensive line can get some pressure, and hopefully it's going to be a good game.
All right. Excellent. Derek, thanks, buddy. Let's see if we can squeeze in Chad here before we get to Russell. Chad in Georgia, you're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Rook?
Chad, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right.
Great.
I have a score prediction, and I may sound crazy here, but if, in fact, Hernandez is going to play, which I think he will be, and Haynesworth is going to play, I have a prediction of the game's going to be over at probably 38 about 14, and
really?
Then Tom Brady, being the competitive player he is, I think he's going to try to pound the ball even harder to the Jets, and it's going to end up being like about a 45-14 game.
Really? That big?
That big. If, like I said, if, you know, indeed Hernandez is playing and Haynesworth is going to be out there too. Because I'm telling you, you pressure Mark Sanchez, he ends up looking like Tony Romo every Sunday. I mean, that's my prediction. And I'll leave you with that, and you can take it how you want it.
All right. Very good.
I appreciate it.
We'll mark it down, Chad, and you can check back in with us if it turns out to be that kind of a route next week.
All right, man. Love the show.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate that. Wow. All right. We got Patriots fans stepping out on a limb now, beginning to think that this isn't going to be as close as we seem to think it will be here. Let's find out from the pro football guru himself, Russell Baxter, who joins us in the playbook, as he normally does on Thursdays. Russell, how are you today, man?
Good afternoon, Mr. Rook. How are you?
Excellent. Good afternoon to you. Why do we all of a sudden think that, Patriots fans are starting to feel, I think, a little bit more giddy, and I think it's just happened in the last hour since we've learned that Aaron Hernandez returned to practice today.
I think giddiness, John, probably more predicated after watching the Jets Sunday night. and that's not to be flip or anything, but, I mean, that was surprising, to say the least.
Yeah.
The Jets offense never got into the end zone. They got a interception return from David Harris. They got a kickoff return from Joe McKnight. It was turnovers galore. And listen, the Ravens weren't exactly sharp either offensively. But, watching the Jets unable to run the football this year, which is their bread and butter, watching the quarterback make mistakes, I believe the Jets have 10 turnovers this year in 4 games. And 9 of them are by their quarterback. So when you see that, and then you combine the fact that, what's funny about the Patriots? They've played 4 games this year like everybody else. Their offensive yardage has gone down each week. And last week, arguably their most balanced effort of the year in the win over the Raiders, which is actually a very, very good sign. It's not all about gaining yards. It's about wins and scoring touchdowns. And when you see the kind of balance that the Patriots had last week, and you watch the Jets last week, who were spotty against the run and unable to run themselves, I think that's more where the giddiness comes in, to be honest with you, and if that's the word you want to use.
Well,
now, I don't know if I share that necessarily,
yeah.
But I think that's, and of course, you also know, this is an offense in the Patriots, with that 2 tight end stuff, that has been virtually unstoppable since they started running it last year. So when you talk about Hernandez being back, and you have Gronkowski, they're touchdown machines. I mean, since last year, it's almost like an even split of Brady touchdowns to wide receivers and Brady touchdowns to tight end. So I think that's probably where I'll use the word optimism seems to be coming in, from your last few callers, I'm sure.
Yes, optimism, because we haven't had that 2 tight end formation like you normally have it. We've only had 1 tight end on the roster active the last couple of weeks, so.
Yes, I was going to point that out.
Yeah.
I went back and checked some stats through the 92-year history of football.
Okay.
And I have yet to find a team that had 1 tight end on their roster who have run any 2 tight end formations.
That's pretty good. I like that one. It take you all day to come up with that?
Well, actually a week.
Took you all a week to come up.
I'm a little slow.
That's actually pretty good. I like that. What did you think? What was your impression of the performance against Oakland last week? I realize we're kind of starting out with the Patriots here, but what the hell? I certainly thought that the return of the run game was rather impressive. Were you surprised with the way that the Patriots were able to run the football effectively against the Raiders and really kind of out Oakland?
No, I actually wasn't. I actually thought that it was going to be a game in some stuff that I wrote, and I don't have any insight other than my own eyes and own feelings and so on. But the Raiders are not a great defensive team against the run. They're very big up front, size-wise, obviously. I don't think they're overly quick, and they've had trouble with the run for a number of years. When you look at a lot of teams that are built a certain way, and they're not always a great run. I mean, Tampa Bay's a great example. They've been looking to stop the run for about 4 or 5 years. They're slowly, slowly getting better at it, but look at all the defensive linemen they've drafted the last 2 years. And Gerald McCoy, Brian Price, this year they went after the end. Oakland's kind of the same way. They're not a great run defense. And I thought, listen, when you throw the ball now the way New England does it, and you're bracing for the pass, it's very easy to do, not easy, but, with the way Bill Belichick puts it, together a game plan, you never know what you're going to get with him. And I thought it was great that they actually had a nice 1-2 punch with Ben Jarvis, Green, Ellis, and Ridley. That I think bodes very, very well for them. And, this is, listen, We have seen passing galore in the first 4 weeks. We have seen comebacks galore in the first 4 weeks. I'm getting the suspicion that maybe within the next couple of weeks, I'm just not going to be surprised if teams settle down a little and maybe start running the ball a little. Like last week, now again, it's only a number. Last week, nine guys ran for 100 yards. Now that was the most in any week of this short season.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see if teams, now that everybody's kind of bracing for this, throw kind of football, the teams start crossing up other teams, and maybe we start seeing the run come back for at least the next couple weeks.
Well, that kind of brings me, Russell, to what was one of your Thursday's teasers online today, because, you know, we've been talking, I think, for the better part of the last couple of weeks, really, about how, you know, there just really aren't any great defenses in the league, and a lot of that is because of the way the rules of the game have lined up, how offenses have taken advantage of that, and this is why we're seeing these pinball-type numbers. And I know you've written about how the passing yards have been prolific, and you mentioned one note this week that I thought sort of leads to that, the fact that the top three teams in the league in total defense are all in the same division. You got the Bengals, Steelers, and Ravens, first, second, third. Does that say that those defenses are that really that good, or that those offenses really aren't?
Well, I don't see, you know, I think Cincinnati's defense is a comer. I think Baltimore's defense is very good. I think Pittsburgh's defense traditionally has been very, very good. But like I pointed out with them in Cleveland, and Cleveland is ninth, by the way, so four of the top ten are all in the same division. And it's not like there's been a ton of divisional games played against each other, so it's not like they're racking up big totals against their own teams. But Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and I can't believe you're saying it about Pittsburgh of all teams, Cleveland and Pittsburgh can't stop the run, okay? Pittsburgh's the number one rated pass defense in the league. Well, that's well and good, but that's not how they're built. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been stopping the run for about 40 years, and they suddenly can't do it this year. They've given up 170 yards in one game and 180 yards rushing in another game. They've given up more rushing yards in four games than they did in the first eight games of last year. That's not what the Pittsburgh Steelers are about. You wonder why the Steelers have one takeaway in four games. And that's because they're not playing the kind of defense. So that second rank comes with a big asterisk, at least when it comes to Pittsburgh and to a degree with Cleveland as well. But Cincinnati is very intriguing defensively. I thought they were definitely coming that way last year. And Baltimore, you know, Haloti Ngata, and you've seen him, you know, up close and personal a number of times. He just seems like, I know he's already a Pro Bowl player, he just seems like one of those guys that gets better every week. And, the Ravens have done a decent job of finally melding in some younger talent with their veteran guys. And that defense, you know, pretty much is looking up to snuff. I think they got caught off one guard one game this year. And that was the Tennessee game because I think, you know, maybe a little let down after playing the Steelers and blowing them out. But Baltimore and Cincinnati, I think, are a little more legit right now. And, you know, for the Browns and the Steelers, if you can't improve your run defense the rest of the year, I don't care what the overall number says, it's going to be a long year for both of those teams if they can't stop their run.
All right, well, speaking of the Steelers then, they obviously face one of the 3-1 teams. They're at home against the Tennessee Titans, and if the Steelers are having such trouble running the ball, the Titans, can they win this on the road?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we have surprise teams around the league all the time. We talked about Buffalo. You know, Buffalo had their letdown last week after beating New England. San Francisco, a bit of a surprise at 3-1, and the way they're 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
But Tennessee, I think, has to be an absolute shocker for a lot of people. Remember how they were last year, John? They were 5-2 in their first seven games. Everything seemed to come apart. That was a team that lost 9 of their last 10 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got off this season and lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But they have regrouped well. They stunned Baltimore. Last week, I thought they were very impressive in going into Cleveland and winning the way they did. You know, in this pass-happy, offensive-happy league this year, and this is almost stunning after only four games, the Tennessee Titans are the only team in the league that have allowed less than 20 points in each of their first four games.
Wow.
Everybody has gotten caught at least once with a 20-point game, okay? But they have done a great job defensively. And you know what's funny?
They have a lot of good players, a lot of good young players and so on. They've done most of this without Chris Johnson, who had 101 yards rushing last week after having 98 in the first three games. I mean, this is a team over the last couple of years. Remember in 2008, Chris Johnson's rookie year, big year for him. They were the number one seed in the AFC. Of course, he had 2,000 yards rushing in 2009. You know, he's been one of the home run threat running backs in this league. Mm-hmm. And they've kind of almost lived and died with him. And, of course, Vince Young, you know, holding things together as well. But I don't think anybody anticipated what we were seeing with Tennessee this year. Them and Houston are tied atop the division. It's obviously a very down year for the Colts, who, you know, dug themselves obviously a very big hole without Peyton Manning. Yes, I think Tennessee's very capable of going into Pittsburgh this week. The Steelers are battered on the offensive line. Defensive-wise, we just documented their problems against the run. I think it's a more important game for Pittsburgh than it is Tennessee. But I'm not going to be surprised if Tennessee goes in there. They just look like a younger, fresher, more physical team than the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
In the AFC East, the Bills, who finally got knocked off last week in somewhat surprising fashion to Cincinnati, they're at home, and they're facing, well, you know, that juggernaut Philadelphia Eagle team that certainly, you know, is, I think, surprised people this year by the fact that they're 1-3 and not 3-1 themselves.
Well, I know going into this game that there was a really, really good chance, John, that one of these teams was going to be 3-1 and one of these teams was going to be 1-3.
Mm-hmm. You didn't think it was going to be that way, though.
I didn't think it was going to be the Bills at 3-1 and the Eagles at 1-3.
Right.
And the Eagles, who have lost three in a row, I remember that win over the Rams seems like 3 months ago instead of 4 weeks ago. And as much as Michael, you know, talk about Michael Vick, offense problems, offensive line, the Eagles defense, which they spent a lot of money on, which they spent a lot of attention in terms of bringing in new players. They have a brand new defensive coordinator, Juan Castillo, who is the offensive line coach. The team has, this unit hasn't gelled. And, you know, they got a lot of talent up front. They got a lot of talent in the secondary. The linebacking core is very young and seems to be having a lot of problems. It's very interesting. They have 15 sacks, John, as a team. All 15 come from the defensive line. And yet they've only intercepted two passes. So it's almost hit or miss. And the problem, I point that out because they seem like they have a lot of problems covering tight ends, covering running backs out of the backfield. You go back the last three games to them,
yep.
The Eagles have given up 10 touchdown passes, which you're automatically going to say, oh, my goodness, you know, Nnamdi Asamoah, disaster in the secondary. What happened? Well, 6 of the 10 are the tight ends and running backs. So they're getting beat underneath. And even the wide receiver touchdown receptions, and you can visualize this, I'm sure. Victor Cruz takes a short pass when they're playing the Giants and turns it into a long touchdown. Josh Morgan last week on a quick slant goes running through the defense, almost untouched. Teams are getting rid of the ball, getting it to their underneath guys, and these guys are making plays. And the Eagles just seem unable to stop it. And I mean, it's almost mystifying. It's not like they're not scoring points, John. They're scoring about 23 points a game the last 3 weeks, but they're giving up almost 30. And, you know, they're just going to have to play better against a Buffalo team that we obviously know can score points, although last week they ran into that Cincinnati defense we referred to, and that's why I think you got to give Cincinnati a little credit. Cincinnati only gave up one offensive touchdown last week in that loss, in that win over the Bills. I thought they played really, really well. I think the Eagles are rebound here because I think the best thing that could happen to them, strange as it may sound, is they're going to get a lot of non-fan support and they'll be away from their own building. I think going away from Philadelphia might be the best thing for them to happen right now because I think things seem to be closing in a little on the Philadelphia Eagles. The expectations, the dream team comments, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, they've got two teams at 3-1 in their own division. They can't afford to fall too far behind. And remember, one of their losses already this year, John,
mm-hmm.
was at home to the Giants.
Yeah.
In a tough division, or any division, you can't afford to be losing those home divisional games.
That's very true. Very true. Two games that look intriguing, Russell. One of them maybe a little bit more so than the other. Bucks and the 49ers are both 3-1, but the game that I kind of looking forward to watching, Raiders at the Texans. I'm slowly becoming a believer in the Houston Texans.
Yeah, and last week I thought they made a little bit of a mini statement by out physicaling the Steelers.
Yeah.
You know, they only scored 17 points and still won. I mean, when you think of Houston the last couple of years, we're not used to them playing any semblance of defense, even against
right.
teams that are struggling offensively.
Right.
They've given up 70 points in the first four games, and 40 of those came in the loss to the Saints. So it's 30 in the other three. That's 70 points in the first four games. It's the first. That's the lowest total in the team's brief history in 10 years. So that's something to build on. And now they play a Raider team that is very similar to them. Not great defensively, likes to run the football. Houston, I know, is without Andre Johnson. I also believe Houston's never opened their season at 4-1. And this is a huge game for them. In fact, the next couple weeks, I think, are very big for Houston, because after they play the Raiders at home, two very big tests on the road, at Baltimore, at Tennessee. And, yeah, I think you need to make hay at home by getting those home wins. Like I said, the Raiders' defense, very vulnerable to the run. We saw Arian Foster at his best last week. In fact, even when Ben Tate was in for the short time that he was in, you know, had a big run against the Steelers as well. Remember, they've played four games this year. Ben Tate has 200-yard rushing games. Arian Foster has 100-yard rushing games. They know how to run the rock. I know it's going to be harder without Andre Johnson. They've got Owen Daniels. They've got a very underrated offensive line. I think Houston keeps the momentum going.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning that way, but I think the Raiders can make a game of it.
I have no doubt about that. That's a very solid football team, the Raiders.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. Even in defeat last week, I was pleasantly surprised. I think they have more than what I thought they had.
Well, I think the best thing that has happened to the Raiders that has not happened to them in a while, and I know they changed head coaches, but what they didn't change was Jason Campbell, who has, you know, in the years he was in Washington, and you know this, John.
Yeah.
Different offensive coordinators, different head coaches. I think it even went back to when he was in college to a degree. He was always in a different system.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator in Oakland last year. He's the head coach now. I think even though Jason Campbell put up, a lot of yards last week, he did throw a couple interceptions. I think he's been kind of a steadying force for the Raiders offense. And with Darren McFadden in the backfield, Michael Bush back there, offensive line that has really come together. I think they have given up two sacks in four games. This was a Raider team that gave up 44 sacks last year. Mm. There's a lot of good things about the Raiders. And, you know, to me, losing at Houston is nothing to be ashamed of if that's exactly what they do.
You know, the Buccaneer 49er game sort of is a little bit of an enigma, only because I'm not sure which team is really deserving of being 3-1. Are both of them, or are neither of them worthy of being where they are?
Well, the Bucs to me are very intriguing because they're such a young, exciting club with a tandem of quarterback, running back, and wide receiver who are all kind of slowly growing up together. You know, Josh Freeman is in his third year. Mike Williams and LeGarrette Blount are in their second years. They're really the backbone of the offense. Not to say that their line's not good, and they have other components as well. But, you know, Josh Freeman, who as a rookie played 10 games and turned over the ball 20 times, has now played 20 games the last year plus and has only 13 turnovers. He is really a steadying force for them. And, you know, I use that word with Jason Campbell as well. And that's really what quarterback is all about, okay? Sometimes we use the word game manager like it's a four-letter word, but it is about being a game manager. That doesn't mean you can't put up big numbers or little numbers. It's being in control of your team and being the leader of the offense and so on. And that's what you see with Josh Freeman. You know, they had their problems with the Colts on Monday night, but you never sensed any panic with them. I think they're very young. They're very confident. They've won three games in a row since losing to Detroit. LeGarrette Blount's carries have increased with every game. But I'll tell you, they're going against a very, very good front seven for the San Francisco 49ers. And, you know, I agree with you. San Francisco is a little bit of a mystery because their offense couldn't, I don't think, manage 230 yards in each of the first three games and suddenly exploded last week at Philadelphia. And I think that was more of the Eagle defense than maybe San Francisco's offense.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Smith could almost say that was one of his signature moments in a career that's been very, very spotty. They've got Frank Gore, they've got Vernon Davis, they have a lot of good players and so on. But I think offensively, they still seem like they're trying to find themselves. This is really a coin flip game because one of these teams is going to be 4-1. And if the 49ers are 4-1, I think they can wrap up the division next week, as a matter of fact. I say that in jest, obviously, because they're 3-1 and the rest of the teams in the division are 2-10.
Yeah.
Tampa went out there last year and beat them handily, 21-0. In the second half of the season when San Francisco was starting to play a little better. And I think I might take a little flyer on Tampa again as well. I just like the way that Raheem Morris, and, you know, in this day and age, John, in the NFL, when there seems like there's a quick hook, people forget that Raheem Morris, in his rookie year as a head coach, and after, you know, the firing of John Gruden or the letting go of John Gruden, however you want to term it, and so on, they were a 1-12 football team in Raheem Morris's first year as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
They won two of their last three games. He's actually 15-8 since that 1-12 start.
Wow.
And you know, I give them and the organization a lot of credit and so on. And you know, going on the road doesn't seem to faze them. I think they go into San Francisco and eke out a win here.
Before we hit Jets and Pats, got to touch briefly on the two 4-0 teams. Packers playing at the Falcons. Lions are at home against the Bears. Which one is more likely to still be undefeated in 5-0?
Well, I think they both have an equal shot. I expect both of them to win.
Okay.
And Atlanta, to me, has a lot of defensive issues. How's this? The Atlanta Falcons, who went out and got Ray Edwards in free agency in the offseason, whose defense, has been okay but not tremendous. They sat Jay Cutler five times in the opener and lost the game. They haven't had a sack since.
Wow.
And Aaron Rodgers, you know, there's a lot of numbers being put up in terms of yards, and we saw what he did last week, 408, four touchdown passes, two touchdown runs. A lot of large yards putting up. The thing that strikes me about Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if you looked at this, John, his completion percentage this year is at 73%. That's quite a number.
That's...
And defensively, they've given up yards, but they're taking away the football. Charles Woodson is off to a great start in that regard. Atlanta, to me, remember what happened last year in the playoffs. They had beaten Green Bay in the regular season. Green Bay went in there and whacked them, 48-21 in the divisional playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that was a long time ago. To me, it seems like the Atlanta Falcons haven't recovered from that loss. They have been very shaky in the first four games of the season. They're 2-2. And if you saw the game last week when they were up 27-7 at Seattle against a team that had not moved the football all year, suddenly Tavares Jackson is thrown for 300 yards, and they're lining up for a field goal at the end of the game to maybe pull out the victory. There's something doesn't seem quite right with the Packers. I'm sorry, with the Falcons. I think Green Bay wins again. And by the way, I know this sounds strange for a team that's won more championships than any other and have been pretty good in recent years. The last time the Green Bay Packers opened at 5-0 was 1965.
Good grief.
That's the year before we had a Super Bowl.
That's right. 1965. Good grief. Really, that long?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they've had great, very good teams since then and so on. They've obviously won championships since then. That actually was the first of their three consecutive NFL championships. And by the way, if you think 1965 is a long time, hence we go to Monday night and the Detroit Lions, who are the second hottest team in the league, winners of eight in a row going back to last year, which they haven't done since the mid-50s. And the one thing about the Lions we've seen in the recent years is they've had a great time, and they've dug themselves these holes, John, as you know, losing 26 games in a row on the road, losing 19 straight divisional games, losing 13 straight games at Minnesota. They've been wiping out all those streaks. It's almost like they have something to shoot for every week because they've been so bad for so long.
Well, guess what they haven't done in the last six times they've played them? That's beat the Chicago Bears. And that's who they get Monday night. The Bears have won six straight in 10 of the last 12 times they've played. First Monday night game in Detroit, I believe, in 10 years. And if you're looking for the last time the Detroit Lions opened at 5-0, that would be 19 of 56.
Good grief. And you like the Lions this week over the Bears, the whole home floor, right?
I think the atmosphere in Detroit is going to be absolutely electric. Listen, great scheduling by the league. Who would have known that their two primetime games this week would feature the last two undefeated teams in the NFL this season? And you want to talk about even better scheduling by the NFL? The first Packers-Lions game this year is on Thanksgiving Day, obviously in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
The second Packers-Lions game this year is the finale at Lambeau Field. Now, I'm not saying, listen, there's a long way to go and so on, and anything could happen, and one or both of these teams could go into a slump. But wouldn't it just be a little bit fun to see these teams get off to great starts and maybe be on a really major league collision?
For Thanksgiving, yeah, absolutely.
Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Because how many times have you heard it for the last roughly decade or so? Can we please see somebody else on Thanksgiving other than the Detroit Lions? I almost get that feeling that nobody is saying that right now.
No.
I think the Lions,
honestly,
you noticed, the Lions have piqued everybody's interest. You know how people are about underdogs.
It's good for football.
Eventually, you always want to see one of these bad teams really get on a roll. I think that's what the fun things about sports. We love our dynasties to a degree, but we also like watching the little guy come from out of nowhere. And again, this team, which has been so bad for so long. I mean, the Bills, too. Both of these teams haven't been in the playoffs since 1999.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people out there who have become Detroit Lions fans, and I think it's going to be a really crazy and entertaining crowd Monday night.
It absolutely is good for football, Russell. All right, Jets-Pats then, 4:15 Eastern time kickoff here Sunday afternoon. The Jets have scrambled the last couple of weeks, losing twice in the row. The Patriots, you know, bumping the road at Buffalo and then on the road last week at Oakland and managed to at least hold Oakland enough and get enough offense out of that to win relatively comfortably. It seems to me, as we started off the conversation today, the Patriots fans are really encouraged by Aaron Hernandez's return to practice. And if that is the case, and if he is lining up in the Patriots, if they're able to go to that seemingly unstoppable two tight end set that they have, that it will be very much more difficult for the Jets to choose their poison defensively. We're all anticipating Darrell Revis seeing some time against Wes Welker, but Revis himself has sort of hinted at saying, well, if Hernandez is playing, maybe I'm the guy that can slow him down. And if that is the case, do we see Wes Welker, you know, continue with some of his record-setting numbers? Great intrigue here.
Yeah, there is. And here's a number I dug up about Wes Welker this week, which is absolutely stand. He's obviously leading the league in receptions with 40. And he is obviously leading the league in receiving yards with 616.
Right.
Now, I just went through a quick, and this is not to pick on any particular team or anything, but I just kind of went perusing through the stats. That's a technical term, perusing. Mm-hmm. Through the stats last night, and it occurred to me, as I was looking at all the receiving totals for teams, that I stumbled upon the Jacksonville Jaguars, who they have, as a team, a total of 56 catches for 621 yards.
Okay.
Which means their team has five more receiving yards than Wes Welker.
Okay.
And that to me just shows you what Wes Welker is doing this year.
Yeah.
He's obviously, you know, 16 catches in the one game, 40 catches. I'm not going to prorate it. I can do 10 times 16. Okay.
Right.
But remember, this was a guy who caught 123 passes one year in 14 games. The record's 143 by Marvin Harrison one season. But to answer your original question, yeah, I think Wes Welker is going to get those opportunities. And I think if you remember the 45-3 game, obviously you do, the big thing about that game was Brady getting rid of the ball and then Welker and Danny Woodhead doing as much as they could after they caught the pass. That seemed to be the key in that game. You didn't really see that
in the playoff rematch up in Foxborough. So it'll be interesting to see what Rex Ryan throws at the Patriots this time. The one thing that stands out in my mind about this series, the last 2 years, and I think it's a credit to the Jets and also a detriment to them as well, that Rex Ryan has managed to beat the Patriots 3 of the 5 times he's played them, including the playoff game last year. But then again, it also hasn't amounted to a division title. It hasn't amounted to a Super Bowl appearance. Mm-hmm. And a lot of energy seems to go into beating the New England Patriots. And I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I get the feeling, as bad as the Jets looked last week, I think they're going to look a lot better this week, because these are the games they seemingly live for. And I'm going to take a flyer on the Jets this week, as bad as they looked last week, because I think these games against New England seem to mean more to them than the rest of the schedule that they play.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying the Jets are a better team than New England, because New England beats everybody. But this is, even though this game is on the road, Patriots games for the Jets seem like homecoming games.
Yeah.
If that term makes any sense. And how many times have you seen it in this league where one team seems to have another team's number to a degree, and yet when they play other teams in the league, they can't get out of their own way? And the Jets have not gotten out of their own way the last 2 weeks. Somehow I get the feeling they're going to rise up here. But I will say this. A loss here by the Jets, and which would be their third in a row, could put them into a little spiral. Because I think they will exert an enormous amount of energy, John, to win this game this week. Because I think they're putting so much importance into it.
Yeah.
And, listen, we saw it last year. We saw after they played and beat the Patriots in the divisional playoffs last year in Foxborough, they looked like a different football team in the first half of the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh. And it took them a whole half to gather themselves. And by the time they gathered themselves, they wound up losing another AFC title game.
Right.
So there's a lot of enthusiasm that goes into beating the Patriots. Now, I've swung and missed with the Patriots a couple times this year, so this will keep my record intact when New England wins. But I'm just going to take a flyer on the Jets, because I think the Jets, again, to use the term, are going to exude a lot more energy into winning this game than they would other games this season.
Yeah, well, just so you know, both, you know, Eric Scalavino and I, we sort of feel similarly on this, that we think it's going to be a lot closer than people think, mm-hmm. than fans think it will be. We've had some fans think route this week, but frankly, I haven't seen that at all. Eric says he's got the same kind of feeling almost as before the Buffalo game, and he picked Buffalo to win that game. So
right.
I just, you know, I think we're all uneasy around here simply because we just don't know what the defense is going to present and what they're capable of doing. And until we can see the Patriots defense put up some kind of a commendable pass rush, even on a wounded Jets offensive line, then, you know, they're going to have to prove it before I think there's any sort of confidence factor built in here.
And that's the X factor that we talk about with New England. And it's not just New England. It would be any team that has defensive problems, okay? Because you know as well as anyone, if you have a rock-solid defense, which is almost unheard of this year, okay, someone asked me the other day who the defensive player of the year was, and I said none, okay?
Yeah.
Because what have we seen this year? Okay, now I say that in jest, but you understand my point. It's been a year of passing records, comebacks, et cetera, et cetera. But the Patriots defense, you know, obviously caused for concern with the way teams move the football against them. So at any one time, if it is an off game by Tom Brady, and turnovers come, and listen, the Patriots don't turn over the football. They had the one bad game where they had the 4 interceptions by Brady, tip passes, et cetera, et cetera. So they don't give you a lot of opportunities to make mistakes. But when you play defense and allow teams to move the ball on them like New England does, you're always suspect. Bad defenses make ordinary offenses look good, as you well know.
Yep.
And that's kind of my feeling here, like I said, but more so because I just think the Jets put so much into to playing these games. And, you know, the letdown factor that they have sometimes after playing New England,
It's actually surprising. But, you know, listen, these are human beings, and emotions run high in this rivalry. And that's also what makes this rivalry one of the best in the NFL.
Agreed. Russell, as always, thank you for spending a bit of your afternoons with us here in Patriot Land. It's always appreciated, buddy.
I say this sincerely. I look forward to this very much every week because it's really a chance to just talk about football.
Awesome.
For about a half hour or so, and it's great fun doing it with you.
Thank you very much. Don't forget, you can find all of your all of Russell's stuff on ProFootballGuru.com. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Bax, B-A-X, Football Guru. Did I get that right?
You got it. You got it right both times, as a matter of fact. I'm everywhere. So.
You are everywhere. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, John. Have a good week.
All right, there you go. Russell Baxter, the one and only, right here inside Patriots Playbook. Now, let's get to some emails and such, because we've had a lot of people take the time to do that. Also had a couple of people hit me up on Twitter. Stone 1248 says, my prediction for Sunday, 27-16, Pats. Slow start, but Pats pull ahead in the second half, 17 unanswered. Then we have, oh, let's see, a couple of, did I get another one here? I thought I got another. Oh, Joshua ATVA says, no chance the Jets go run heavy this week. I don't care what they're selling, would be a dumb move. Fair enough. And then a couple of others here talking about how, yeah, I know. I tweeted, I guess, a couple of days ago how TCU athletic director Chris Del Conte reaffirmed staying in the Big East, and then TCU gets a bid to the Big 12 today, and it looks like they're going to bolt. What does that tell you about the state of college sports nowadays? What does that tell you? Nobody's word means jack bleep. I'm serious. Nobody's word, yes. Nobody's word means squat. It's just, it makes me ill. Makes me absolutely ill. All right. Let's go now back let's hit Facebook up here. Lucas, I don't agree on the Jets-Patriots rivalry. For me, there's no real rivalry. Who started the rivalry? The Goober Mangini, who was convinced he was a fabulous head coach. Ryan and Crow, if you were to ask most fans who New England's biggest rival is, all of them would say the Indianapolis Colts. Until 01, the Colts were part of the AFC East. They faced the Pats twice a year. Not only that, since 1970, the only year where New England didn't play Indy at least once was in 02. In that time, especially in the 2000s, the Pats-Colts produced some of the greatest games the NFL has ever seen.
The Colts suck.
The media is the one putting the rivalry in the conversation. Indianapolis is definitely New England's biggest modern rival. I don't think a lot of fans would agree with you, Lucas, and I think the reason behind that is, and you make good points about the Colts and the rivalry, especially when they were in the AFC East, but fact is that we're lacking a real rival, and because this continues the whole New York-New England thing, I think that brings in a lot of fans in the area, especially New England Patriot fans who live right here in Mass, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont. I mean, let's face it, Maine. You live in New England, I think your chief rival's the Jets. Now, maybe if you live outside of New England, you look at it differently. If I'm wrong, tell me. I know you will. Garrett says, John, I went back and watched the three games from last year with the Jets. Even in the 45-3 game, Brady was sacked three or four times and pressured a ton. What are your expectations for this Sunday? I'm going to take a line from the movie Rocky III. Pain. Remember that? Remember Mr. T? Clubber Lang?
Pain.
Yeah! Yeah! Pain. Clubber Lang. One of the goals.
What you say, paper champion? I'm going to beat you like a dog.
Nice. Good Clubber Lang references. Oh, I like it. Got to get me some good Clubber in here. You know, I kind of agree with Russell. I do believe that the Jets are going to make a pretty good game out of this. Like I predicted earlier, I do think that this will be a game that won't be as much of a rout as people think it will be. Maybe that's just me hedging. But I see the Jets, you know, as Russell said, I see the Jets really putting a lot into this, knowing that they've got to figure out a way to snap the current malaise that they're in. Joshua says, John, Sunday's game is going to be a good one. I don't think that this will be a heavy pass game for Brady and company. We'll rely more on the run, especially after seeing Ridley's performance. I believe Sanchez has won only one game at New England, so it comes to show that he struggles when playing here. I think he'll turn the ball over 2 to 3 times. This will be a big game for the Patriots' pass rush, lifting their spirits and morale. This game will be the one that shows how dominant the Pats' defense can really be. I love how the Pats are keeping quiet all week and letting the Jets do the talking. Look for Brady to throw a ton towards Cromartie, just his way, so Brady can still look like an a-hole. Ha ha. Pats 35, Toe Sniffers 10. This is also great to hear Mike Wright is back. Really thought he would call it a career after suffering from another concussion.
Really beautiful, see?
Yeah, here they come again, right? Here they come again.
Well, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave, Matt.
Thank you for that. All right, Gina Daytona. Last week, the Jets played better than the score showed. Once the Jets fell behind early, the Ravens loaded the box for Sanchez to throw the ball, taking the Jets out of the running game. Jets defense really only gave up 6 net points. Ravens offense only scored 2 field goals and a touchdown. The rest of the scores came on Jets offense. I do agree with Eric. This will be a lot tougher game than we expect. He says Pats 20, Jets 9.
That's a cover.
That would be a cover, wouldn't it? Rick in the Netherlands says, hey, guys, the Jets make the Pats O-line look like the best ever. Okay. Well, the Jets have had some trouble, certainly on their offensive line, but they do expect Nick Mangold back this week. That seems to be the thought. Wild Bill in San Diego. Pats 34, Jets 17. Ridley rushes for 103. Law firm has 2 touchdowns. Okay. Adam in Maine. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Thank you, Adam. What's CAPTCHA? I love listening. You're great entertainment and insightful thoughts toward the team, even when you predict doom. See Eric as against the Bills this year. I just want to say thanks for the quality work. You're very welcome. It's our pleasure. We love doing it. We certainly wouldn't be here. Okay, that said, John, you need to bring out the voice, the Cowboys versus Redskins voice you just did. I almost fell out of my chair. Classic.
You mean the one that has the guys walking down the street like this? Toting his 6-shooter ready to kick some arse.
Is that Hank Williams, too?
I don't know. Just one of my, you know, it's one of my Rooster Cogburn voices, I think.
I tried so desperately today to find an Oklahoma hat just to come in here.
Ah, you notice what T-shirt I'm, sweatshirt I'm wearing,
of course,
right?
I would expect anything less.
Hey! All right. All right. How much do strippers pay you?
He owes me lunch.
Oh! Well, you're sharing that lunch with me now, buddy boy, for playing that on this show, okay? Where's my Texas fight? Where's my Texas fight? Come on.
I don't have any Texas fight.
Yeah, you do.
Do I have a chance in this game, John?
You have the fight song in there in the system somewhere, I know, because I put it in there a couple of years ago. Find it, damn it.
10.5 points in that. That seems like a lot.
That's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points for a rivalry game like that.
Yeah, but I don't know. I know. I'm not very confident. Not very confident, Pete. I'm not sure that I touched that one.
I'll tell you what, you know what's impressive, though? They went to Iowa State and really slammed them. A lot of people thought that game was going to be close. And Iowa State was a pretty good team. And
Iowa State shot themselves the foot a lot, but the difference between Texas last year and this year is that they at least took advantage of the situation presented to them.
I'll be honest. I mean, I was that game. I wish sometimes it was at night. You know, it was tradition, all that stuff. But that's one game. But I look forward to Texas Oklahoma, one of my favorite games of the year. Always, it's always fun to watch. I know Oaks had your number a little bit, but
last year.
Colt McCoy beat him, right?
Colt beat him. So you know, I'm looking for a good representation. It's an incredibly young team. They're playing 19 true freshmen, which is extraordinary for a high-profile, high-major D1 school.
It is.
To play 19 true, not redshirt.
Mm, yeah.
True freshmen.
18-year-old, basically. 18-year-old
kids
maybe some 19,
who are basically, 5 months out of high school. And they're playing these guys, you know, and so I think it tells you a little bit about their talent, but I think it also tells you they need some seasoning.
I look forward to it. I'm looking forward to Saturday. Love it.
What do you think about this one on Sunday?
Well, I've gone through it. I've analyzed it all different ways. The fact that Aaron Hernandez is on the practice field today and you know, possibility that he might play.
Helps, right?
I mean, please.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going crazy here because this is just a bad spot for the Jets. It's their third straight road game. They're playing crappy. I don't care what jacket Rex Ryan wears to Foxborough or whatever, Hall of Fame, and keeps doing these little itsy, you know, funny little skits and stuff. And if I'm the New York media, I'm probably a little tired of it, especially after a couple of weeks losing. You know, it'd probably be better if he was all business. I mean, I'm not sure he is on the field and all that stuff, but I just think it's a bad spot for the Jets. I don't think they win the game. I mean, the Patriots win. I think a comfortable win. Like I said, not 45-3 or anything like that, but I think they will win comfortably. I'll give all my picks and scores at the end.
Okay.
I mean, Mangold is coming back. Yeah, but how effective is he going to be? That's a tough injury for a center. High ankle sprain like that. What's it going to, how long is he going to last? You know, and if he can't go and Baxter comes in, forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't, just because Mangold may play does not mean things may get any better for the Jets, because I don't know how effective he's going to be. You know, well, you know, is he going to be effective side to side, straight up? He's snapping. I mean, what's, and the Jets just don't run the ball well. Sanchez is mediocre at best. And I just think that loss last year is stuck in Tom Brady's craw, and he is going to slam it down their throats. That's what I think is going to happen.
All right, you got B-Lo coming up, Fantasy Lowdown.
B-Lo's coming up after taking a week off last week for Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
And he is back and ready to go.
How is the new year going, B-Lo?
Really?
Swimmingly.
Like sparklers and stuff and everything and pop champagne?
Yeah. Nice. 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 I like
it. Yeah, we missed him last week. My buddy Mike Cambria filled in, you know, nicely and everything. But B-Lo is, he is the absolute best at what he does. He really is. A lot of good. I like it when real life football can kind of parallel fantasy football. And there are a couple of games this week that absolutely do that. So I'm going to talk to Brian about it. And the 5 o'clock hour, again, it'll be all Patriots, Jets predictions and
awesome.
and thoughts of why. Somebody's going to have to give me three good reasons of why they think the Jets can win. And don't say the Patriots defense sucks. Go into a little more detail than that.
Okay.
Because no defense is good. As I said,
you're right. Nothing.
The
nothing.
Jets have right given up three less points than the Patriots. Three.
That's right.
Three.
That's right.
So why isn't anybody crapping all over them? Really? I mean, why isn't it? I mean,
question. It's a good question. All right, Pete's coming up in just a couple of minutes. A couple of extra emails here. Thank you. Told you it was in there. Or where'd you find it? All right.
What are the words to this song?
Over one more win. Texas. For Texas, and we love best. Give hell! Go, Horns, go! And goodbye to all the rest.
Can we get Brian Piccolo to sing the Wake Forest theme song from the movie? I always like that. Rah, rah, Wake Forest. Rah. That's one of the greatest sports scenes to my one of my favorite sports scenes of all time is James Conn being asked during the team meeting to stand up and sing the theme song to the Wake Forest.
Just
absolutely brilliant.
That is a good move. That's a good move. Yeah. Good movie too.
Yes, it is.
Brian and doesn't say where he is, but he says John just Longview, Texas. Hey, howdy from Longview. I know you are where it is, and I laughed so hard hearing you do that voice a little while ago because I can still hear your Texas accent with that voice. My prediction for this game, Patriots 28-17. If they do a couple different things, I feel they need to bring back the no huddle. And obviously the Jets are down, especially their defense. Use the no huddle to your advantage, and the Jets offense suffering right now, so look for the Patriots D to capitalize.
What was your prediction, by the way? Did you make one yet?
Yeah, I said, what did I say? I said 30 to 26.
Hmm.
Close game. But 30-26 Patriots is what I'm going with.
Well, picking 30 points is dead on.
I got him right on. Yeah, I don't see. I just, you know, especially Hernandez back, Pete. How does anybody stop him holding less than 30?
Well, exactly. But I do think this game will be, because this game, like Oakland, I think it's going to be a much more balanced attack.
Yeah.
Much more balanced attack. Now, again, the game plans are going to be different for Miami. They're different for San Diego. It doesn't mean it's going to be 30-30 every time. But Oakland and this week, absolutely. Now, Dallas next week, I don't know. You know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to. But I expect a very similar type of offense to what we saw on Sunday. And not because it's the trendy thing to do and say. It's because of the way these two teams match up.
All right, Chiefs fan Chris sends this. He says, guys, if you could read this for even a second on the air, I will get a free breakfast tomorrow for my Pats fan, Pete. All right, well, Chris, I'm reading it, but you need to share with us. He says, it ain't no way it'll get read. All right, so I'm helping you out here, brother. So you got to remember, got to remember us here in Foxborough.
Well, what's in it for you, John?
I mean, yeah, I want to know what's in it for me
because
we all know.
We
all know. We all know that it's got to get a piece of the action. All right, he says 28-28 fourth quarter, 17 seconds on the clock, fourth down and one. Jets go for it. Sean Ellis gets a penalty, causing a first down. Jets will get the ball on the Pats 27-yard line. Spike to stop the clock at 1 second. Field goal unit comes out, kicks the game winner with 1 second on the clock. Kickoff is a squib. Pats get tackled on the 35. Game over. Jets win.
The words of my pal Tommy in the North End. Are you nuts?
No effing way. Okay, you never know. You never know. I got one more I want to share. This one comes from... Oh, that's... I'm not reading that, okay? Somebody's trying to sell me something, too. I'm not reading... Sorry, guys.
No,
you know, it's okay, but we're going to stick to the subject here. Oh, says JC says this to the guy from Georgia. Just because Albert plays doesn't mean he's going to disrupt Sanchez. Albert can't even get on the practice field, never mind get to the quarterback. I also think Rex goes pass this week, although he said return to the run. How do you not pass on the Pats? I think that's actually something to keep in mind. I think it's very possible that you will definitely see the Jets try to utilize the two, you know, somewhat talented but somewhat underutilized receivers that they have against the Patriots secondary this week. And if the Patriots aren't getting a pass rush, then that's the quickest way I know to get a guy like Mark Sanchez healthy again.
The Jets don't run the ball well anyway, so I absolutely expect them to pass more than they run. I'd be shocked if they didn't have more throws and rushing attempts. Shocked in that game.
Thanks to Russell Baxter for checking in. We also have... Roderick Boone from New York Newsday checking in to kind of talk about the game. And thanks for all of your contributions this week. It's been great stuff. This is JETS week, kids. It's going to be fun here in Foxborough on Sunday. And we're back inside the playbook to nitpick it away. Next Tuesday, same Pat's time, same Pat's channel. Pete Shepard is next.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome on the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.